What's up? What's up, everybody? Hope you have all been well. Thanks for tuning in to another JDB podcast. You know, out of all things that can stress a man the fuck out, you know what I'm stressed out over? Dog food. Dog food. What is the fucking deal with not being able to find goddamn dog food lately? So my dogs eat the salmon and rice formula, all right? Normally it's the Purina One salmon and rice formula. Why do they only eat salmon? Well, that's the only kind of food that I've been able to find that doesn't fuck them up. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That Rachel Ray bitch, her food sucks. Don't try that Rachel Ray dog food. I mean, not you personally trying it, but don't feed it to your pets, fat ass bitch. She used to be bangable. I don't know what the fuck happened to her anyway. I don't like that bitch lately. Now, damn sure I don't like her dog food. Got my dogs all fucked up. They're like broken out in hives. My one oldest male pit bull has hives under his armpits. Then the little black one, that's what I call it. The younger one, it's a female. I call it the little black one because it is black with a white spot on his chest. We just call it the little black one. I got the big white one and I got the little black one. Little black one's all fucked up around the mouth, man. It's got like red irritation around its mouth from the stupid ass dog food. I cannot find this shit anywhere. Where is the fucking salmon and rice formula? Is there a shortage of fishermen lately or something like that? Like, why can't I find it? I can't feed them the lamb. I can't feed them the chicken. Everything fucks them up. They need the salmon and rice formula. So, you know, I'm looking in other towns, other counties for this kind of dog food. You know, so they have it online at some places, but a lot of places, even online, it's out of stock. I'm like, what is going on, man? So that's been the big stress in my life lately is dog food. I'm sure it's stressing them out too. Anyway, I realize I haven't dropped a podcast in a while, but I'm back to talk about a couple things that maybe I haven't hit on in the past. Maybe I have. I don't know. My memory sucks. Oh, there we go. There goes the phone again. Let's start fucking dinging. Well, John's trying to do a podcast. I got asked this in an email a while back now. It's been a couple months now. Somebody was asking me about taking things like marijuana for recovery or any other recreational drugs that I so choose to talk about or maybe I have done before myself in the past. Marijuana is kind of a double-edged sword with me because a lot of the people that are what I would call a pothead are lazy fucking degenerates that I can't stand. So I don't like marijuana because of and maybe these people were going to be scumbags either way. But I think marijuana does make people lazy. It does make a lot more degenerates than it does make productive people. Every once in a while, you'll meet that guy or girl who is a good worker when they're stoned. But for the most part, no, they're not. They're fucking stupid. So the only time that I wish I could smoke marijuana, and I can't for legality purposes and job reasons, but it's just to go to bed. It's just a couple hits at night to fall asleep easier. That's really the only time I wish I could do it. But I really don't have trouble falling asleep lately because I'm on HGH again and growth. Like, my head hits the pillow when I'm freaking conked out, man. Like, I can't even make it 5 minutes. I watch a lot of serial killer documentaries with the dog at night. And I just can't make it through any of them. So what happens is every time I pull the shows back up, it shows me where I left off. And apparently, that's where I left off when I woke up and realized the TV was still on and shut it off. I couldn't tell you 10 minutes out of any one of these shows, right? It's 'cause I just get knocked out, like, on growth. So, like, marijuana is not really something that I don't really need it right now. But I feel like it is beneficial for sleep. All right. If I could smoke pot and do growth at the same time, I would have a couple hits of marijuana at night. I would. I think marijuana can be beneficial in recovery, and it can also be beneficial in the fact that, like, if you could do it and avoid alcohol, right, that's probably better for you. I think waking up hungover is no good for anybody. I don't know how people do it, like alcoholics, I really don't. I mean, I wake up hungover, I feel like shit, man. Like, I don't want to do anything. And to be someone that wakes up feeling that bad and then all of a sudden gets to drinking again or gets to the point where that's what I look forward to first thing in the morning when I wake up, that's bad news. I couldn't imagine being that bad. It would be very, very hard for somebody like me to become an alcoholic. So I think weed is good for bodybuilding in terms of recovery, and in the sense that if you use it as a tool, it's a good thing if it's used as a tool and not like a way of life, all right? So if smoking weed makes you hungry, you get the munchies, you can't control your diet, then fuck no, it's not good. It'll turn you into a fat, lazy piece of shit. If smoking weed makes it so you're foggy-headed, you can't get anything done at work or with a business or whatever you have going on for income, then fuck no, it's not good. All right? I would say stay away from it. But if you can be responsible enough to use it as a tool, maybe just to recover or calm yourself down after the gym, especially if you're on a big cycle. Because guys, steroids really kick your nervous system in the ass. A lot of times sleep is hard to come by on a cycle. I know with myself, I mean, Tren, I definitely sleep like shit. I haven't ran Tren in years. I don't know if I ever will again. Probably not. Primo. I have a hard time sleeping on Primo. Once I get up around 600-700 milligrams a week on Primo, which is the sweet spot for me to get awesome results, my sleep can kind of get fucked with. Unless I take something to help me fall asleep. I'm not really a huge fan of melatonin because I wake up in the morning, I'm kind of groggy. I don't like the way I feel when I take a lot of melatonin at night. And then, you know, you have the sleep supplements, the powders that, if you ask me, they're all pretty short-lived before your body becomes used to them. And, you know, that's that. And you stop reacting to it. So, you know, I think if you can use weed like that, I think it's a good thing. Now, if you have a job that could potentially drug test you, or you're are looking for a job and you need to be, you know, clean, then no, I don't think you should smoke marijuana. I think you should put your responsibility and your income and your family first. You know, if you stay high or you have it in your system and then you get popped and fired, you're a fucking dumbass. Why would you do that to your family? Why would you do that, you know, and lose your income or the health benefits or whatever it is you have going, your retirement or whatever it may be? No, you're just a fucking dumbass. You know, I don't like hippies either, which is part of the reason I don't like marijuana, because I associate marijuana with just broke-ass motherfuckers that are trying to live as cheap as they can. They don't try to live a proactive life of trying to get ahead financially or anywhere else. It's like, what can I get for free? How cheap can I live? What can I get for free? You know, like the people on YouTube that I live out of my fucking van, and they try to make it sound so glorious. You know, you ever notice like almost every one of those dudes is single? You know why they're single? Because they're fucking losers. That's why they're single. And every van's the same. Like, yeah, this is my little area where I can do my work. I can get my work done. But they never really tell you what that work is. Because, surprise, surprise, it's fucking bullshit. That's right, it's bullshit. They really don't work. They live cheap. And they probably smoke a lot of marijuana. So, I know, it's stupid reasons that I don't like pot. But yeah, I would still have a couple hits at night as a tool for bodybuilding purposes. Now, I will tell you, I had a benzo addiction for about 3 or 4 years. And I'm going to give you the other side of the coin. Benzo's much, much worse to be hooked on than fucking marijuana. I can guarantee you that. Very, very hard to get off. This dog is farting, man. God damn, you stink. Fuck that Rachel Ray dog food. Fuck, I've been smelling this dog's farts now for the past... I want to puke. For the past 3 days since I've started feeding them this shit, my whole living room smells like dog farts constantly. Dude, are you done? That is fucking horrible. I've got to get to salmon and rice formula, you know, and not the Rachel Ray salmon. Where was I? Oh, yeah, the benzo addiction. Much, much worse than marijuana, okay? But here's the difference. This is how fucked up society is, or, you know, the United States. You know, I only speak for the United States. I've never lived anywhere else. But I can legally go get a prescription for Xanax. At the time, the highest I got up to was like 4 or 6 milligrams a day of Xanax bars, right? That's like 2 or 3 big Xanax bars a day. I can legally go get that, something that's super hard to quit and get off of, that is addicting, and I'm fine. If I get drug tested or you know, I go look for a job or whatever, I show them the prescription for the Xanax, I'm fine. But I can't have a couple hits of marijuana to get some fucking sleep. What is wrong with that picture, right? I'll tell you what it's about. It all comes down to money. It all comes down to money. And after about 3 or 4 years, I wasn't on Xanax the whole time. I started with Klonopin. That wasn't strong enough. I stepped it up to Xanax. Now, this started, I was under a lot of stress at the time I was on Klonopin when I started. I had a lot going on in life. But the problem eventually became the drug itself, not what I was taking it for. And that's what a lot of prescription pills, that's what can happen with a lot of them, is the problem becomes the drug and the drug dependency, not what that pill was prescribed for. And I had to ask myself one day, are you in the same position that you were in when you were prescribed this shit? Well, no, my circumstances are totally different. You have to be honest with yourself. It's very hard to be honest with yourself, especially when you think you need something. I was taking these pills to go to bed. I didn't really want it. There goes the phone again. Ding, ding. Fuck off. I really didn't want to be high like during the day. I didn't want to feel like I wasn't with it, but I needed a way to wind down at night. And it got to the point where if I didn't have these pills, I could not wind down at night. Well, guess what happened? I'm a fairly big guy and I do have sleep apnea to some degree, but I don't have it as bad as I thought I had it. Because what these pills did is they slowed my whole nervous system down. And guess what that does? It makes your snoring fucking worse. So I was sleeping in another room outside of the bedroom where my wife sleeps because she just couldn't stand my snoring. I tried to get used to the CPAP. I don't know. I never could get used to the damn thing. I used it for a little while. When I first tried using it, I wake up and the air hose was blowing on the floor because I was tearing it off my face at night. That's when I realized that just the nasal part wasn't really good, because if you open your mouth at all during your sleep, you think you're choking and you rip it off your face. So I got the full face, you know, Hannibal Lecter style CPAP mask. And I don't know. Some nights I could sleep with it. Some nights it's just like, fuck this. And I eventually gave up on it. But I realized that when I got off the benzo drugs, the snoring problem wasn't quite as bad. Not nearly as bad. Now, I still sleep in that other room because my wife still says that I snore. And I'll be honest, if I'm not getting a piece of ass, I really don't give a fuck about sleeping together in the same bed. I am perfectly content lying down, watching murder mystery shows with the fucking dog when he's not blowing farts like this. That, I mean, this is terrible. He's not sleeping in there tonight. I'm cool with that. And I can't make it but 5 minutes anyway before I just... Let me shut the fuck up. I'm going to throw this thing to the window. Bitch, I'm not answering you back right now because I'm busy. So, I will say that you know, some things, just because they're legal, aren't any better than things that are illegal. It's the same way with, like, pro-hormones to steroids. Are pro-hormones any better for you than steroids? I mean, some people would think so because, oh, I can get this shit over the counter. Yeah, it still knocks the shit out of your testosterone levels. There's still a recovery. And they're orals. You know, that whole non-methylated bullshit, how, you know, the oral pro-hormones or SARMs or whatever don't affect your liver, I think that's a crock of shit. It really is, because if you get your labs done, almost everybody I know that has ran this shit has had high liver numbers, you know, so orals are just not really a good thing in most cases, and that's what I'm going to get into talking about next in this podcast, is I'm going to talk about oral steroids. My experience with oral steroids, what they did for me, what they didn't do for me, and whether I think they're worth it or not, is a cycle addition. You know, occasionally I hit on other compounds. I haven't really talked about orals. I've never really talked about orals. So I'm going to touch on that today. So my first oral was, you know, most people's first oral. You know, it's cheap. It's readily available. It packs a lot of strength. And that's Dianabol or D-Ball. The first couple times I ran D-ball, I loved it for the strength, the quick strength gains it gave me. And I love the fact that it just made the weights, they just popped up out of, like, it was almost like, you know, work weight beforehand became warm-up weight after a week on D-ball. It was just this feeling of power And what that is your muscles become so hydrated from the fluid retention that, I mean, muscle is mostly made of fluid, so they're a lot stronger when you can retain more fluid in the muscle. And that's what these hormones do for you. Also, a lot of them convert to estrogen. When there's some estrogen conversion, you are stronger. You are stronger. It's no different than a woman who has a little teeny bit of testosterone and then gets a moderate amount of testosterone. Much, much stronger. Men are the same way with estrogen. A little bit of estrogen or estrogen too low, you could be weaker. Estrogen just a tad on the high side, sometimes your sex drive will be more. A lot of times your strength is more. When estrogen gets too high, then it's a bad thing. So the first couple times I ran Diana Ball, they were these old tabs from Russia, these big white tabs called napazims. Napazim was some fucking awesome D-ball. It was, I don't know what it was about that kind of D-ball. Maybe it was just the fact that I was younger. I reacted so much better to those naps, we call them naps, than I did to the pink ties or some of the other, you know, underground lab type Diana Ball tabs that are out now. I just reacted really well to those naps. The problem was, is as soon as I got off D-ball, as fast as the strength came on, is as fast as it went away. And I kind of deflated, and I mean, I would look a little bit leaner to start pissing out all the water weight I accumulated. But in the end, it yielded me very, very little. It was very short-lived. It wasn't something that you could run a long time. Now, when I was new to orals, all right, I believe my liver handled it better. And maybe my numbers weren't as bad. I wasn't getting lab work done back then, though. But I didn't feel bad. Fast forward a few years, and I tried some other kinds of D-ball, and I didn't feel good at all. My appetite was so suppressed on D-ball that I felt miserable. I mean, you're still really strong from the water retention, at least I was. But I felt off. I didn't feel good at all. And that was probably the damage it was causing to my liver and or the estrogen conversion. Maybe it got a little too high. And I started saying to myself, you know, this isn't working like it did in the past. Also, maybe there's some fillers, I think, that are added to some D-ball tabs. And maybe people use different fillers. I mean, I don't know enough about that aspect of it to know exactly what's used. Maybe that could be causing some discomfort in your body. Or in your stomach. But I didn't really feel good. Then I tried Anadrol. And I only tried Anadrol a couple times. I didn't like it. I did not like Anadrol. I didn't get near the amount of strength gains out of it that people claim that you get. I think milligram for milligram, Dianabol is definitely a stronger compound. Okay, so like 50 milligrams a day of Anadrol is not really the same thing as 50 milligrams a day of D-ball. That's why you see some guys quite often taking their Anadrol to 100 or 150 milligrams a day. You can't do that with Dianabol. It's a much stronger compound milligram for milligram. I think it's the better compound milligram for milligram if it really was a good compound. But the further along I got into this stuff, the more I realized that orals were just kind of a waste. They didn't really yield me anything very permanent other than inflating my ego in the gym for a few weeks. There really wasn't anything to them that I liked, you know. So a lot of guys run them because they're cheap. A lot of guys, that's the same reason guys run fucking Trend. Trenbolone's cheap. It's the most bang for the buck steroid you could probably get. Okay, there's a lot of guys out there. They don't have the kind of money to run a decent cycle or to run compounds that might be a better fit for them. They want to run cheap shit. Okay, Diana Ball and Trend, maybe a little bit of testenanthate or something. Does it work? I mean, yeah, it works. But I look at this whole thing as the long game now, all right? So I don't think that destroying your health and fucking your lab work up time and time again for a look that, quite frankly, really isn't any better than maybe something that you could achieve without being on an oral. I just don't think it's worth it. Even if it does add 40 or 50 pounds to your bench, you know, what is it doing to your insides? I don't think it's worth it at all. I think that Anavar is a decent oral. Anavar is much more mild. Most of the time that I've used Anavar was when I was trying to like lean out and maintain some sort of level of strength. But Anavar doesn't kick the shit out of you the way that D-Ball or Anadrol does. But I will say, I did get an upset stomach on Anavar once I got higher with it. Like, so I could get up to about 50 to 75 milligrams a day of Anavar with no issues. When I would get up to like 100, which really isn't all that crazy on Anavar, okay? It's still a mild compound. Like 100 milligrams a day of Anavar is probably even more mild than like 25 milligrams a day of D-Ball for sure. But I would get a very upset stomach. It would feel like somebody was churning a rag in the middle of my stomach. So then what I started doing is I would do 100 milligrams a day of Anavar for as long as I could handle. And then when my stomach started feeling that way, I dropped to 50 milligrams a day. Do that for a little bit. That would go away. I go back up to 100 and I would do it like that. Or I would just find a happy medium and do, let's say, 60 milligrams a day somewhere in there. I didn't retain the water on Anavar. I didn't feel like it was just fluid gains. I felt like Anavar complemented my cycles a lot better. Most of my cycles, I will actually say that probably 80% of my cycles have been cycles when I was dieting. I think that you can gain a lot of damn muscular size with the diet and just a simple cycle, you know, testosterone only, or test in DECA, or test in Equipoise. I think the basics work. I think that 90% of your gains is really your nutrition. It's those guys that eat when they're not hungry, that prep their meals, that, you know, they don't have this day where, oh, this day you hit all your meals, the next day you fucked off. Or the next day, you weren't as hungry, so you said, fuck, three meals out of the day. 70% of the time that I was eating, when I was trying to build the bulk of my size, I was not hungry. It was sheer discipline. I knew I needed to eat because I wanted to grow, so I would fucking eat. And if I didn't puke, I would eat it. That was my mentality. Sometimes what can happen is the side effects are so bad from certain drugs, especially the heavy orals, that your only gain is water retention. It's only temporary, but the food is not there. It's just not there. If anything, sometimes you can be worse. And you can be worse is your lab work gets more skewed. So here it is. You're taking more shit you think is going to benefit you, and it is making you worse than if you did not use it at all. Everybody's different, and everybody has their happy medium. Some guys, D-ball at 30, 35 milligrams a day is perfect. That was my sweet spot. 50 milligrams, too much. Felt like shit. I probably feel like shit nowadays no matter like what amount I ran of D-ball. But is it any better than, let's say, just taking like 500 milligrams a week at test and eating like my life depends on it? No, it really isn't. I mean, most of my gains came from that commitment to nutrition. And I'm sorry, I can't think straight, man. I'm smelling dog farts. Come on. He's lying right here at my feet, just farting. Just constantly farting. I know, buddy, that food fucking sucks. Fuck that bitch. Another thing, too, that I started paying more close attention to the further I was along into this, especially with my anabolic game, too, is my kidney health. You know, a lot of bodybuilders have kidney problems, and I don't think orals are going to help your case at all. I think a lot of kidney problems can come from orals. You know, some of these guys, they stay on orals, especially during the off season. These competitive bodybuilders, they stay on orals. Every time they want to run a high test cycle, they want to run an oral cycle. And some of these dudes, we're not just talking like 50 milligrams a day of like Anadrol. There's guys out there doing 200 and 300 milligrams a day of Anadrol. That's not an uncommon thing at that caliper of a bodybuilder. That, you know, you got to watch out what's on the back end. You know, you really got to watch the liver and the kidneys. And some of these dudes, they don't know what the liver and kidneys look like because, well, they don't get lab work. Why? Well, because they don't fucking have insurance and or can't afford it. So it's kind of reckless in that regard. And I think that you really need to know what you're playing with. I think is an oral cycle once in a while, you know, going to really hurt anything? No, if they're done wisely, I don't think so. Now, here's an exception. And this is just something that I've kind of realized as I work with different bodybuilders and different body types. Sometimes an ectomorph can look really, really good on an oral. That's kind of the exception to the rule. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think Arnold was way more ecto than he was like meso or endo. Ecto is someone that's kind of naturally thin, have very small bone structure, joints, you know, wrists, knees, that sort of thing. Arnold looked really, really good on D-ball. And a lot of those guys during that era looked really, really good on D-ball. They trained really, really hard, and they were probably burning more calories throughout the day just from the sheer volume of training than maybe a lot of guys are today. Those guys are kind of an exception to the rule. But like for myself, D-ball or Anadrol, I'm trying to think of like what other oros I've done. You know, that was probably like really it as far as like steroids are concerned. I mean, aside from Anavar, I'm not categorizing Anavar in the same category as D-ball and Anadrol. VAR is something that maybe I would still do to this day. Winstrol is another one, although Winnie kind of gives me a little bit of edge. It makes me a little bit mean. But a really good combination is if you split your Winstrol and Anavar in half and do like 30 of each. That's a great combination. I think that orals that are not as harsh and are geared more towards muscle mass or muscle preservation when you're dieting, or maybe just the strength gains without the aromatization, I think that's the way to go. I think as soon as you start dealing with the estrogen side effects and trying to figure out the right amount of AI to use or anti-estrogen to combat this or that, it's just a crapshoot. I just don't think it's the best way to go. I think there's a lot of different ways to do things, and that's probably not the number one way, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. Yeah, again, and nutrition's number one. If you're trying to build size, you're going to build size by eating a lot. Okay? That's the only way that you're going to build retainable size. I don't care what drug you use. Stop basing the results around the drugs. The results are based around the training and the nutrition. The drugs are the icing on the cake. But way too many guys now are solely basing everything on the cycle. It's like they'll come up with a cycle first, and then the training will follow suit. And I don't think that's the right way to be. I think that they have it backwards. Anyway, that's it for today. That's my opinion on any sort of recreational drug to use as a recovery aid or something to enhance your training. Use it as a tool. If it can be used as a tool, it's great. You know, it's nice to think in a perfect world, everybody's all natural and not using something to gain the edge. It's the furthest thing from the truth. But when something becomes the problem and no longer the tool, like my benzo addiction did with me, that became the problem. That wasn't a tool anymore. That was just something I was telling myself, but it was a bullshit excuse. It became a problem. Then no, it's no good. Like, you know, if a couple hits of marijuana a night to fall asleep turns into having to be high all day where you can't get anything done, or you're driving around and you're not clear-headed and sober and, you know, you could cause an accident or whatever, then yeah, it's a fucking problem. So that's my opinion on any sort of drug like that, or even some supplements. Some supplements can even fuck you up. What's that one? I'm trying to remember the name of it now. A lot of guys use it when they come off opioids. What the fuck is it called now? I don't know. It'll come to me. But even some supplements can do this to people. They can cause problems, and they can have withdrawal symptoms. And as far as the oral steroids go, you have to base things on your own personal experience with them. But I will say, in terms of actual muscle mass, like retainable muscle mass, heavy oral steroids never did a damn thing for me. I believe that I could have never have touched any oral steroids at all and have gotten to the same size. Maybe not quite the same level of strength as when I was on them. Because the strength, it is an ungodly, crazy amount of strength that you get from orals. And I think that maybe they do make your training safer when you're on them, because anytime you have more fluid around the joints and whatnot, it is a much safer way to be, rather than just being dried out all the time and in a state of like possibly being catabolic or, you know, having those dry joints where you can be injured. But in terms of what you physically see for results and the long haul health effects, I don't think they're worth it. The only one that I would even consider running is Anavar, and maybe if I was really trying to get cut up or maybe getting ready for like a competition, maybe some Winstrol. Other than that, though, I don't see any reason for them. I'm not talking about ancillary orals. I'm talking about oral steroid compounds here. So that's my take on those two things, guys. Thanks for joining me again. I realize it's been a little bit of some time since I released something, but thanks for hanging in there and following the blog and the podcast. Train hard. I'm out.